How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And we have got a Hall of Famer here on the line, Trish Stratus, appearing here on the program. How you doing, Trish?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Not too bad. I think this may be the first time you've ever been on the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, which is crazy, but yes, it is.
Now, I guess going back, I mean, you had done, was it the law that you had kind of done?
She did the law before she was in wrestling, actually.
That's right. How did you get hooked up with the law?
Well, let's see. I was a fan of this show, and it was just something that, you know, well, I mean, first of all, I knew the guys that did the show. So, you know, Dan, I knew, and Jeff Merrick used to do the show back in the day. I don't know if you guys remember Jeff originally.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff and I are very good friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. I feel like I'm good friends with you, Dave, but we're not really friends. I don't think that
we're like, we go way back, though,
you know.
Yeah, me and you have been friends once removed for like 15 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great friendship. It's low maintenance. I'm digging it.
Friendship once removed.
Yeah, so and the law was, it came at a time when there was these internet rumors about the fitness model Trish Stratus has been spotted and will be starting soon. And these are the same rumors that I was reading about as a wrestling fan. It was going on all those, you know, those sites that you'd, probably your guys' sites, and looking at and going, oh my God, they're talking about me. This is crazy. And then the law asked me to come on and talk about these, like, you're signing with WWE. You got to come on and talk about it. I was like, well, not really, but I can come on and talk about the fact that I'm not really and haven't been contacted by these guys. And I went on, had a blast with them, and then got really good response and basically was like, can I kind of hang out with you guys? And we thought, yeah, you want to be a host on the show? I was like, yeah, can I talk wrestling once a week with a bunch of other wrestling fans? Absolutely. So that's how that started. And they were with me for the whole journey.
So how did the rumors get started? If everybody's talking about you going to WWE and then they contact you and you're like, I'm not going, I've not talked to them. How did this get started?
Well, I was sitting at home and no, I don't know. I honestly got to find someone who like put that out there because it was like, I was on Off the Record, TSN's Off the Record. You guys have probably heard of that show. It's, a sports show here in Toronto. Mm-hmm. It's filmed here in Toronto and it basically features sports celebrities and they talk about current events in sports. They have some Austin, a lot of wrestlers have been on as well, but they do some wrestling centric shows. And when they did that, I would be like their go-to guest because, first of all, it was a chick who knew sports, which I thought was kind of cool. And I knew wrestling, they knew that I loved wrestling. And it all kind of, the rumors began after this appearance on this particular show where, wrestling was kind of on in like 2 a.m. or something in Canada. And so TSN was signing a deal with WWF at the time that Raw would be prime time. So as WWE does it, it's a big announcement. They do this huge, it's a press conference. And then it was this live TSN show in front of the Sky Dome where the show was going to be that evening at the Sky Dome. So I was part of that panel, that show, and it was at that show that evening that people were like, oh, we saw you on this, and when are you starting wrestling? And I was like, oh, no, that's not happening. And then I kept getting asked that question and then suddenly started appearing in the Women of Wrestling galleries, soon to be appearing Trish Stratus. And, of course, I was just me and my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, huge wrestling geeks and just watching this going, this is so cool, they're talking about you. And, yeah, so it's kind of crazy how it all came about. It kind of worked out.
Then you had a career. Now, how has it been like as far as like, wrestling is a totally encompassing lifestyle. And it's funny because when I talk to people who are wrestlers, it's like you're either if you're in, you're like all the way in or but then when you're out, it's like now all of a sudden it's like, hey, I mean, it's like there's like things like movies and stuff. There's things that, you know what I mean? I mean, your schedule became open, although you went right into this, you had other business that you went immediately into.
Yeah.
But tell us kind of like about the transition and also tell wrestling fans, we know about the yoga, but tell them about the yoga and your other business endeavors.
Okay. Well, I think that was it. Yeah. The main thing is I someone actually asked me the other day, like, cause I'm doing these cons lately, these autograph signs with my bestie Lita, and people are like, oh, it's so great to see you. Cause we didn't get to see you. Like I didn't, dip into autograph signings and things like that, because my main thing is I was focusing on my business. I opened up a yoga studio about 2 years after I retired. So I retired in 2006 and then I opened up the yoga studio just because it was, I don't know if my history with yoga, but I mean, I had a herniated disc in my back and had to be taken off TV and I was champion at the time. And Vince was kind of like, hi, yeah, you have the belt. We kind of need you back. Go have that surgery. And I was like, hi, don't want to. So I didn't want to have surgery and I tried to do physiotherapy and I was convinced it was going to work and it didn't work for a couple months. And then finally I tried yoga And I kind of said to them, like, just give me some time here because this is working, I think. And it was it was yoga every day for about 3 months. That completely rehabilitated my back and reversed the damage. And thankfully, I was able to go back and finish off the best part of my career. I think the last part of my career was the best because I was just more agile as a performer. And, you know, just recovery was better. And just those long drives just didn't seem as painful. And headaches were always there and that sort of thing. So so when I retired, it was like I kind of dipped into exploring the practice and, you know, becoming sort of a yoga geek, I guess you can say. And then decided that in 2008, it was like one of the business endeavors I wanted to pursue was to open up the studio and sort of spread the message. And it was sort of like my platform to go, you guys got to try this. It's really great. So that was... I did some show. I did some TV shows in between as well. Like, I got a chance to do a reality show when I first retired. It was called Armed and Famous. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
I saw every episode of that show, believe it or not.
Yeah, it was pretty good, right? What happened? It could have been a good show. There was some neat stuff that were happening. Like, we know, as you know, when we were doing the stuff, there was some good stuff that was happening. And then they really decided to focus on LaToya Jackson's fear of cats. And then the show went in a strange direction. I don't know what happened to the show. So that happened. I hosted a TV show here in Toronto, Second City show, which was kind of cool because I'd do some comedy stuff. And then I produced my own travel show. So, and that was the first time I sort of established my brand. I called it Stratosphere. And that was one of the first project I did that sort of established my brand. And then I opened up my studio. It's called Stratosphere. And then from there, I have a yoga product line and did a couple yoga videos. So, and it's out right now. I have a yoga video that's out right now, just got released in North American wide. So that's kind of cool. So it was nice to sort of, something terrible happened in wrestling, back injury, but something great came from it, which was, finding the yoga, discovering it, and then following that path. And of course, to do something you're passionate about as a business is kind of a great thing. So
how's being a mom?
Motherhood is amazing. It's so great. It's like, it's funny because I hate to say it, like, I was kind of thinking that motherhood is like, okay, it's like kind of I was looking at it like a gig. My whole life's part of, it's like my life is gigs. When we do these projects, wrestling, some people, it's not a gig, it's a lifetime gig. But for me, it's like, most people, it's like you're doing it for a certain amount of time. You can't do it forever. And this is your gig for these amount of years. So wrestling was kind of a gig. And then, when I do my movie, it was like, it's a gig I'm doing at the moment. And my brain's kind of programmed to work like that. So like my pregnancy was, this is my gig right now, I'm pregnant. And then the baby came and I was like, okay, this is my gig right now, I'm a mom. But it's actually now, it's nice to say that it's no longer a gig. He's here to stay, we're going to keep him. But it's obviously part of the fabric of my life. And being a mother is like, it's like breathing, it's just what I do now. And I've managed to seamlessly work them into my everyday, and it's kind of cool. I bring them to the office, I bring them to some meetings, and I brought them to the last couple autograph signings. I just make a trip out of it with my mom and Ron, and it's kind of cool. So he's doing great, and I can't believe he's almost one. So things are pretty awesome.
Now you've got these Topps cards, which is one of the main reasons you're on here today. There is a Queen of WrestleMania set. They've got 8 cards dedicated to you and legendary moments in your career. And is it true that you and Ron are like huge wrestling card collectors?
We are, yeah. I mean, we're collectors altogether. We've always been collectors. He's always kind of, he's been into starting lineups was one thing at one point was his thing. And we would go to these, shows and it'd be fun. It would be something to do, like the chase, to sort of find these items and track them down. And so one thing I started doing is I got this set of Barbies when I graduated high school, I think. I got these, designer Barbies. They're like really expensive ones. And it turns out there's a huge market and there's this huge industry of like collecting Barbies. So, Ron was a collector, and then I'd go to these shows with him, and then I was like, I'm going to start collecting Barbies. So I have this huge Barbie collection. It was like such an, and I'm such not a girl thing, so it's like, but I love Barbies. So it became my little thing, and over the years, just even acquiring all the figures, if you've seen, I have to send you guys a picture of it, but our wrestling figure collection is pretty crazy. It features everybody. Of course, there's a special shelf dedicated to the Trish Stratus figures. But, we like to collect things. And Ron, over my career, would collect all my trading cards. And he's got this binder that has, like, crazy stuff in it, like stuff from Italy and Japan and, like, really rare stuff. And it's kind of really cool. So, it's nice to look at. I guess you don't appreciate it, too. When you're in the moment and you're like, yeah, I did this card, and you see the card, you're on the card, it's kind of like afterwards you're like, oh, my God, I'm on a trading card. This is awesome. I think the WWE, you get caught up in this, like, whirlwind. It's happening so fast that all this neat stuff's happening. It's once you finally take a breath and step back, you go, whoa, that is really cool, all the stuff I got to do. So so this, you know, to be part of this set right now is like, it's amazing. When they contacted me about it, I was like, wow, first of all, I'm so blessed that I've had enough moments to create an 8-card set, you know, which I think is a rare thing as a woman. So I'm blessed to have that many moments in at WrestleMania. So yeah, I'm excited. The cards are really cool. Have you seen the whole set?
I haven't seen the whole set, but I'm looking at the one here where you defeated Christy Hemme, it says. And yeah. So did they basically just, you know, contact you and say, listen, we're not only going to make this set, but we want you to like write is it kind of like descriptions or whatever, or memories of the matches? Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, they they told me they wanted to. The idea was to put this Queen of WrestleMania set together and basically tackle each of my moments at WrestleMania. So that was kind of cool because then I got to go back and sort of relive the moments again. And we pulled some pictures from each one, and yeah, it was really cool to go back. I wrote the card backs for each of the cards, and like I said, it gave me new perspective and kind of a better appreciation of like, wow, I had like, how many was it? Eight? How many cards are there? Eight WrestleMania.
Eight of them.
I can talk about. So
that's right. That's you're in there cool. with the Ultimate Warrior, the Undertaker, and 30 years of WrestleMania. So that's pretty good company.
Pretty good company. Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, when you were an active wrestler, I mean, you know, first there was like Sonny and Sable. And they were mostly there to shoot T-shirt guns into the crowd and that sort of thing. And there was not like a full-fledged women's division with like active working women's wrestlers on a regular basis. And you came in and you were like a fitness model. You looked great. And it was kind of like, okay, well, here she comes. And the next thing you know, it's like now there are women's matches. And you turned into like a really good worker. And kind of take us through the progression of your career. I mean, when you came in, there was, I'm sure, sort of one thing that they wanted you to do. And then by the end, you're having all of these great matches. What was it like for you? And what were kind of some of the twists in the road through that journey?
Well, I think, when I finally, after all those internet rumors, got contacted, I mean, I was, I decided to go ahead and prepare my own, you know, package, so to speak, of what I wanted to present to Stratus to them, you know, sort of like, I wanted to be able to do some ring work so that way I could say, well, I've done this. And I would think that the first meeting I had with Jim Ross, where he said, you know, there's an element of physicality in this business. You just have to expect that. And I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, I've been training for about, basically in my head, I said, since I heard these rumors start, but, you know, I've been training for the last 4 months, and he was really happy about that. And, you know, I really feel like that made a big difference in our meeting. But I always knew that if I could contribute to this business, it was to be an athlete on that platform, because it's what I do naturally. It's what I love to do. I was that tomboy who played varsity field hockey for my university, and I played rep level soccer till I was 21 years old. So I just knew that that was something I knew I could contribute to the business in that regard. When I first came in, I had the training under my belt, but I hadn't obviously competed actually as a performer yet. Most people do the indies and they kind of get the chance to sort of work out the kinks and sort of get their rhythm that way. And I didn't get that. I was thrown into it. It was like, okay, bam, you're signed, you're on the road, and now you go. And I'll never forget my first match was like, it was against TNA. It was TNA myself versus the Hardy Boys and Lita. And I was just like, I think I know how to wrestle, but wait a second, this is so different now, you know? There was a lot of me being really crappy in the ring for a while. Thankfully having people who were working with me that had the patience to see my potential, first of all, see my passion and support me. And then, you know, basically just bring me along. And I'm talking people like, obviously Fit Finley is a big story, which we can talk about, but you know, it's people like Jackie and Ivory who went on the road with me and had to, you know, work with this shitty worker for a while. Knew that I was just looking to get better and I wanted to learn, and I took the time and I asked questions and I just was a big sponge and took it all in. So I was given the chance to get, you know, better in the ring and get more opportunity to do what I wanted to do in the ring, which is be an athlete. But of course, then there's, like you mentioned, there was really no room for women at that time. There really wasn't. I mean, you know, it's funny how I get asked the question, did you always know you wanted to be that when you grew up? Like, did you want to be a diva? And I was like, first of all, I don't call myself a diva, so we'll just, that's another thing altogether. But did you always know you wanted to be a women's wrestler? And there was no, like, that job category wasn't available when I was growing up, right? It wasn't like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I mean, there was Miss Elizabeth, who I watched and thought was beautiful and, you know, thought, but I never looked and said, because to me, that wasn't a job position I would wanted was just, I want to be beautiful beside a guy in the ring, you know? So, we had to really, obviously we had to fight to carve that niche out and to carve out that our spot on the roster and on the show. And it took time. And we went from people chanting puppies. We want puppies for, you know, during our matches, and we had to persevere and work through that all. And knowing that, you know what, if we just do our thing, and if we present this amazing product, then they can't deny good talent, and they can't deny something that works. It was just our job to make it work out there. So, you know, pursuing that and just going out there and taking, we got 3 minutes. Okay, we'll make an awesome 3 minutes. We got 4 minutes. We're going to take that, and we're going to, you know, carve out 4 minutes of the show that is ours. And we're going to, and you know, luckily we were a little bit under the radar where they weren't really paying attention to what we were doing. So I don't think they noticed that all of a sudden, you know, because if we had to clear with them and say, we're going to be doing some, because, you know, Fit and I kind of spoke and was like, I don't want to fight like a girl. He doesn't want me to fight like a girl. We're like, okay, we're not fighting like girls. So our matches, we're going to do punches and we're going to do kicks and we're not going to do hair pulling and hair beels. So let's try that. And if we had presented that probably to WWE, they would have said, no. It's just, and there was a lot of, you know, the old timers were like, no. The girls pull hair. There has to be hair beels. This is what, it was kind of like, this is what happens in girl matches. This is what you do. So because we're a little bit under the radar, we got to pull out these matches that were not so girly. And thankfully, over time, it was the audience who started to, like, you know, stop the puppy's chants, get excited, get into it, to the point where then, you know, management had to go, okay, well, this is something that's viable. Let's go with it, and we'll give it a whirl. And so then we got invested in, you know, we got character development, and we got storylines developed. And, you know, that all came, once it all came, then it was a big team effort for us to continue it out there and take this ball that they're giving us and run with it. And, you know, thankfully, at that time, we had the most amount of women that were actually workers out there. So, you know, I had the chance to work with Ivory and Jackie, and then, you know, we brought in Molly Holly, and she was one of the most amazing people to work with. I mean, she was so giving as a performer, and knew that, like, again, I was new, and she was like giving me moves. Like, I think this would be great for your character. And she was so giving and really made a huge difference to the foundation of my work. And then, you know, cycling through all these new, you know, the Nikki was there and Jazz was there, and it was just a really great time. So it was just a number of things had to come together at the right time in order for that landscape to be painted.
So, and I mean, I've noticed that, like, a lot of the women, they seem to be, you know, I mean, do you keep in touch? I mean, obviously I know you keep in touch with, like, Amy, but I mean, I've noticed, like, with Ivory and some of them that they, you know, and that they've remained friends long after they've left the business, which with the guys, well, you know, it wasn't always the case. I mean, I know a lot of guys, when they left the business, they said, you know, you can count the number of friends you have on a couple of fingers. But it seems like, you know, you've been able to, I guess, because you were fighting for the same cause. It wasn't just, you know, you had to establish something, because and you had to fight. You had to fight resistance. And the other thing that I think a lot of people don't know is that even when you were, like, asking questions, it's like you were probably asking questions about wrestling things. And I think that there were probably people uncomfortable even at that, wanting, you know, you should be asking questions about girly things, you know, type of thing. You know, I mean, it's like you're overstepping your bounds almost at times. I mean, do you kind of, like, look back and go, like, you know, we had to break a lot of barriers going through this thing?
Oh, you absolutely hit it on the nail. Like, it's like the guys, I would say the guys kind of interact with the guys. Like, it's like someone just along the path of their journey. They say, they stop for a minute, they have a few matches, they have a program, they move on to the next. But I mean, yeah, a lot of the girls, we created these really, really special moments that, like, are, I mean, still people talk about it, like the golden era, like we call it. But, like, yeah, and that's why we've, you know, I mean, Victoria and I mean, like, we were like, what can we do to, like, take it to another level? We've got their attention. Now let's go for the chair shot. Let's go for a hardcore match. Let's go for this. So we pushed and pushed and pushed till we got what we wanted. And it's something that we accomplished together. And so we had that bond for sure, that, you know, it's like, you kind of, like, it's like that constant high five, we did it, you know? And even, like, I mean, I have that relationship, and it's funny because you're actually making me realize it now, but the women I do have the relationship with still are the ones that I had those moments with that we were like, okay, we tackled the barrier. And obviously it's Amy, just our whole career and the numerous things we did in our career that made us, you know, who we are today and why we're both in the Hall of Fame, which, and the girls I'll mention now, which, well, they're all going to be in the Hall of Fame eventually as well. You know, Victoria and I, we had the same thing. We had that relationship where we just wanted to take it to another level, like I said. And Nikki and I think we took, the level we took it to was like, a storyline level, you know, like psychology level. I think we finally, at that point, it was established that, like, okay, girls can work in the ring. Good. They're a viable part of the show, just like the guys are. And they can offer us something from that segment, that match number, that will be interesting and I'll be excited and I can get into it. But then, you know, we were given the storyline. And I mean, I think I think it was, I'm going to say 8 months of storyline that we had that, you know, I mean, that's unheard of in any, you know, storyline, you know, man versus a man versus, you know, considering we're women. So, yeah, we were really proud of that. And I think that, you know, having that and working together and achieving that together is what definitely has bonded us over the years for sure.
Now, among the other projects, you've got Team Bestie Tour at the Alamo Comic Con. You just finished up Gridlocked and your new yoga DVD as well. I want to make sure we get a chance to let you plug some of this stuff. So Gridlocked as well as the DVD. What's going on with both of those projects?
Well, Gridlocked is this awesome action flick that's coming out next year. It's funny, my whole career, like, I mean, I finished with WWE and, you know, everyone kind of said, you should get an agent, you should, you know, do acting. And it sort of seemed like the next, a lot of obviously wrestlers kind of move into that. And I decided to focus on business and establishing my stuff at home and building my brand. And that was kind of where my focus was for years. And then, you know, but at the same time, I got a lot of great opportunities that came along. Like I had a movie that sort of landed on my desk that was like written for me. He wrote with me in mind. I literally read the script and was like, oh, that's me. Okay. I can do this. And so with Gridlock, it's crazy because I had the baby and, you know, just sort of my baby's good, my business are good. And then I kind of, you know, someone had suggested, and it's, you know, me taking a meeting with an agent, and I met with this agent here in Toronto, and we're like, okay, well, let's do it. And it's like, I swear, you believe in the universe. I put it out there. Like, this is something I think I want to pursue now is, you know, the acting side of things would be be something fun to do. And he calls me like literally a couple weeks later and says, okay, there's this action movie, which is right up your alley. It's filming in Toronto. I didn't have to leave my baby. And it's starring Dominic Purcell and Danny Glover. Do you want to do it? Yeah. So, you know, an amazing opportunity. The film is great. Like, I've seen bits of it, and it's just like the production value is so, it's just awesome. And to work alongside, you know, someone like Danny Glover, who, you know, I watched all the Lethal Weapons, and seeing him on set was amazing. And he's just super, so super nice guy. And just like, it kind of reminded me of a wrestler in the way, like when he looked like, he's an older man now, right? He's probably 70s or something up there now. So he looked like, wow, he looks like my granddad. Like, he looks like an older man now, you know, he looks old now. And the craziest thing happened as soon as they called action, like, he just came alive. Like, it's like, just like the wrestlers. And you guys probably been backstage where you see people walking around sort of like, you know, hunched over, and there's a slow walk, and they've been taking a beating for years. But like the minute you put them in the ring, it's like this whole thing happens. So it's like pretty amazing.
Terry Funk.
Yeah. Right. It's amazing. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was like super impressive. And it resonated with me just because I've seen it, you know, in our industry. So it was really cool. And then Dominic Purcell, formerly from Prison Break, he was just such a giving person and giving actor. And he, it's funny, I almost equate it to what I had, the opportunity I had when I first started, you know, just being new, being the valet. I used to say, I get like, you know, people are like, oh, you learn so quickly. I was like, well, I had like front row at the class, you know, I got to sit and watch Vince McMahon up close. I was ringside to watch Tess and Albert and watch what, you know, what little mannerisms evoked an emotion and what elicited a response. I was able to watch Rock and Kurt Angle up close and really just see what are these guys doing up close. And that's what I got to take when I started to become, you know, part of being in the ring. And that's what I brought with me to my performance. So in this regard, I had Dominic Purcell, who just had an amazing presence, just on set. And just, he just takes such time with what he did and deliberate mannerisms. And just, it was really awesome to watch. And that's what I took in. And he was really great about guiding me, you know, this being my second film, just a whole different medium, right? Something that you're used to being big and you're talking to the person that's, you know, 100 rows back, whereas here it's like very small and just, you know, different mannerisms, very just different movements. So it was fun to you know, take what I could do and translate it into a different medium, and he really helped me along with that. So, and the best part was doing my own fight scenes, which is cool because I don't think they're used to seeing actresses do that. I mean, first of all, they're used to seeing actresses have their stunt doubles, right? So they actually brought in a stunt double for me, and I was watching it thinking, okay, uh-huh. And they thought I wouldn't do my action part. And I said, well, what I'd like to, if I could go for it, you know, and they're like, well, you know, we don't want you to get, and I understand.
Man, did you talk to Amy about this?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I go, oh, yes.
Yeah, because
she broke her neck doing stunt work.
Well, you're right, and it's actually bad of me, and that's why they were really strict on it. But I bent the rules a little bit, and what I did is I did my scene full on, And they came to me, everyone was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, no, no, I'm fine. That's what I do. That's why you think I'm hurt, because that's what I made a living off of. That's what I do. So it was kind of an awesome moment. They're like, wow, you went full on. Like you, I'm like, yeah, that's what we do. So I think, and I've heard this before, like with some production people, like working with wrestlers, we give it 100%. We're one take wonder. Like it's really, with the production skills that we've learned from being in the WWE is amazing. And it applies to like the different mediums in a really good way. So yeah, so Gridlock's coming out next year and I'm super excited about it. It was a great opportunity.
So that is Gridlocked. And of course, you've got the yoga DVD out, the Topps cards, which Road to WrestleMania, which should be hitting stores literally at any time. And yeah. Of course, your Twitter's up at TrishStratus.com. TrishStratus.com is the website. And Facebook.com/TrishStratus.com. So very easy to find Trish and all of this stuff online, everybody. And of course, we want to thank you so much for doing the show today. And as luck would have it, I guess because of a double booking, I will talk to you again tomorrow. So we'll continue
on. What will we talk about?
We'll talk about your wrestling career.
That's right.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
Well, thanks so much.
This is the plug in the promo section, and then we'll talk about wrestling later.
Exactly. But thanks so much today, and best of luck with everything. And I guess we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I have one question before we go.
Go for it.
Yes.
If I send you guys my yoga DVD, will you try it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll try it. Absolutely.
Okay. Have you guys done DDPs?
I have not done DDPs, but I do yoga regularly. And my wife is a certified instructor, so.
Really?
Oh, so you're all about the yoga world.
That's right.
Unlike me, who has done no yoga in his entire life.
I'm going to challenge you as a beginner, and I will send it to you as someone who's familiar with the territory, and I'd love to hear you guys' feedback.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thanks again. And yeah, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back again later on tonight.